First, for months now, critics inside and outside the Democratic Party have been saying it's high time for Dems to figure out their core message. Even before Clinton's loss in November, there were rumblings about Trump's direct Make America Great Again message, in contrast with Hillary Clinton's more candidate-focused slogan. Her slogan was, I'm with her. And now Democrats are out of power in the White House and Congress, but that doesn't mean it's been easy going for Republicans, with major failures to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act and the ongoing Russia investigation. With the 2018 midterm elections coming up, Democrats are preparing to unveil a new messaging and policy platform called A Better Deal. Graham Vise joins us now. He's a staff writer covering politics for the New Republic. Graham, thanks for joining us.
Veronica, thanks for having me.
Well, in a recent Washington Post ABC News poll, it says 37% of Americans said that the Democratic Party currently stands for something, while 52% said, quote, it just stands against Trump. So why have Democrats, do you think, had a tough time with messaging in the last year or so?
Well, I think you're right that one of the main criticisms of Hillary Clinton's campaign last year was that she focused too much of her energy and messaging on attacking Donald Trump and not offering what these critics call a clear contrast with him and a more populist economic message to compete with his. But now, heading up into the midterm elections, you know, the Democrats have come out with this new agenda, which they released today on, it's called A Better Deal, focusing on better jobs, better wages, and a better future. And it does have more of an economic populist flavor of the sort you'd expect maybe from Bernie Sanders or the sort of Elizabeth Warren wing of the party. So it's being, I think, fairly well received from some of the people who were critical of the party following the Trump election.
Now, you wrote a piece about this before the plan came out, and you were among the questions on the table. You were musing about whether Democrats would pick as a focal point the Russia investigation or whether they would pick health care, because those seemed like sort of the biggest stories in the room then. It turns out they didn't really pick either one of them with a better deal.
I was struck by that too. Yeah, no, I mean, for months, there was a piece in Politico in May, and the Associated Press had a story just last week where it seemed like the tug of war was between those two, you know, issues. And I argued that, you know, it didn't much make sense for the party to focus on, you know, just one issue or to sort of invest in one big slogan in terms of their messaging. But it does appear that this Better Deal agenda includes, you know, a variety of policies from, you know, prescription drug price gouging, you know, working to combat that. There's an interesting new focus on antitrust laws, where they want to fight to allow regulators to break up big companies that they say are hurting consumers and making it harder to, you know, for companies to merge if it's going to reduce competition. You know, they reaffirmed their support for lifting the minimum wage to $15 and so support for public infrastructure and policies along those lines, paid family leave. So it's a pretty comprehensive agenda, which does not focus specifically on, you know, one issue like healthcare or, you know, Donald Trump's various Russia scandals.
Is it intended to hearken back to the New Deal and evoke that? Are there other underlying messages or resonances that you hear in it?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I was thinking that certainly the New Deal is a touchstone. Also, perhaps a response to the President Trump's famous art of the deal, you know, and the idea that maybe, you know, that's his slogan or his mantra, and so the Democrats are going to say, well, our deal is better. But again, I mean, one of the points I made in my piece that I think it's hard to argue based on history that a simple slogan or sort of piece of rhetoric is going to be the deciding or galvanizing factor for Democrats in 2018. However, there is some history that suggests that, you know, offering a policy agenda and sort of, you know, making promises about what you'll do when you retake control of Congress could, you know, could be effective. And so that sounds like that's what they're doing.
On the other hand, you say in your piece that they might not really need a message because it seems that if history is any judge, it might be enough just to say, hey, we're better than those folks in power. We can do a better job. And maybe they don't need the messaging underlying it just yet.
Right. I mean, this is, as you can imagine, a controversial idea to put forward, even if you're simply, doing analysis of, recent political history, because no Democrat, particularly, those who are frustrated by, the Hillary Clinton's loss and this idea that she didn't have, enough of a solid competitive message, wants to hear that the party, should simply oppose Trump. And I think moving forward, as the party looks to 2020 and the presidential race, there is no question that they're going to need strong messaging that sort of sets them apart from the president. What I did say in my piece is that historically, big national midterm messaging tends not to matter for the party that's out of power. So these elections, midterms, tend to be referendum on the party that controls Congress, and that means that 2018 is likely to be a kind of report card for the Republicans, where the Democrats, of course, should put forward a message and should, in individual races, make, positive cases for their candidacies. But when you talk to experts who have followed congressional elections over the decades, the consensus seems to be that it tends to be kind of an up or down, yes or no question as to whether you like the job performance of the party in power in Congress.
Talking to Graham Weiss right now, he's a staff writer covering politics for the New Republic, talking about messaging from Democrats. They caught some flack for messaging during the election, and there's been anticipation about what the arguing points would be going forward and looking into the midterm elections. Now, Democrats have a soon-to-be-release. There's not a lot of detail out there, but some details that the plan, the policy agenda they have is going to be called a better deal, and Democrats hoping that will carry toward some wins in the 2018 midterms. And Graham, if we look at Make America Great Again, Donald Trump's core message during the presidential election, and what we have now from Democrats, a better deal, you said kind of contrasts against The Art of the Deal, Trump's book, but does it have kind of that populist underpinning, the sense that maybe everything isn't great right now for everybody? Do you hear that? And is that, do you think, the right message?
Well, I do think that some of the reaction today, when Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, was speaking about and writing about this new message, some of the reaction has been that he really does sound different about the sort of state of the country and the Democrats' messaging over the past few years. He acknowledged that the Democratic Party has sort of failed to convey the sense of economic, frustration or hurt that has pervaded much of the country. And he talked about how the sort of political and economic system has been rigged against Americans, and it's being interpreted as sort of repositioning and a change of tone along those lines. And so I think you mentioned that there was some of the plan is going to be continued to be rolled out next week and in the future, but there with the various policies that were released today, which I mentioned, I think there was a real sense that this is a new agenda. These are some new ideas that have not been a focal point for Democrats recently. And again, I should emphasize a shift in tone in terms of the economic plight of Americans and the Democratic Party's sort of response to them, which obviously Donald Trump really capitalized on, their sort of lack of ability to address that in last year's election.
And the Washington Post just quoted Representative Jeffries from New York, who said that Republicans talk in headlines, Democrats speak in fine print. It's an interesting critique. Do you think there has been something to that over the years?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, that is sort of the stereotype, right? You know, and I think that that's probably true. I mean, for example, I mean, Hillary Clinton was famously criticized as being a policy wonk and someone who was really focused on the details of public policy, which you know many of us think is a positive quality and you know would have made her a good president. But in terms of campaigning, particularly again in a presidential contest where it's a choice between two candidates running for the White House at the national level, there does need to be a kind of succinct, clear message. You know, I think obviously President Obama was extremely effective with his message of hope and change, and you know, sort of galvanizing and inspirational, an inspirational message in his two runs. And so, the big question for the party now is in the post-Obama era, given Clinton's loss. You know, without a popular president or, you know, a sort of once-in-a-generation political figure like Barack Obama, you know, carrying the party in these elections, where do they go from here?
Graham Weiss stays with us now. He's a staff writer covering politics for The New Republic, with us right now to talk about messaging from Democrats and the soon-to-be-released Better Deal package from Democratic leaders that they hope will carry those Democrats to wins in the 2018 midterm elections. And we want to know what you think. Do you think Democrats have hit on the right message this time around for voters? If you're a Democrat, does this appeal to you? A better deal, it's called. Better jobs, better wages, better future. Does that inspire you? And do you think messaging matters? Or is it better to Democrats for Democrats to stake themselves out as an opposition party to the White House, to President Trump? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Graham Weiss stays with us. He's a staff writer covering politics for The New Republic, with us to talk about whether Democrats need a core message for voters in the 2018 midterm elections. They have a core message now. It's being released a little bit now, a little bit in a week or so, and it's called A Better Deal, Better Jobs, Better Wages, Better Future. And we want to know what you think. Do voters know what Democrats stand for? And does it matter if they do or not? Or is it enough to be against President Trump? If you're a Democrat, does this new messaging inspire you? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And let's take a first caller now. We've got Terry on the line with us in Green Bay. Terry, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I think your guest hits very much on a good point that Democrats and progressives in general, I guess, and liberals, I guess, have always been faulty in messaging. Republicans have a very good, easy job with worldview messaging. And I think this new package that Democrats have rolled out is just kind of a reiteration and more being embraced by Democrats as a party of what Bernie Sanders has been talking about ever since the last election. And I think Democrats lost this last time around because Hillary Clinton was the right candidate at the wrong time. She was beat by Barack Obama, and Bernie Sanders also probably would have beat her. So the message is still the core of that. We just need to keep pushing that forward.
Terry, thanks a lot for those thoughts. And I want to ask you, Graham, among the other things that Terry brought up, you did speak to some representatives from communications involved with Bernie Sanders. And what you heard was that the message should be Medicare for everybody, single payer, single payer, single payer, and that should be it.
So this is a very interesting component of this. I mean, you know, you mentioned at the top that the healthcare focus that they were considering for 2018 didn't appear in the same way in this Better Deal messaging, you know, I think the way it was discussed over the months was that it was going to be sort of a focus on the opposition or the attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act. But for a while now, certainly since the Sanders campaign, liberals and those on the left have argued that this notion of single payer health care, Medicare for all, should be the sort of next wave of Democratic of what Democrats support on health care. And so that was not included in the Better Deal plan today. However, it's very telling. Chuck Schumer says that single payer is on the table. You know, it's something that that's being discussed, which is a sort of clever way of not endorsing the idea, but sort of nodding to the growing number of Democrats, particularly on the left, who are calling for that. I mentioned in my piece that Representative John Conyers in the House, who has over the years introduced a single-payer bill, got a record number of sponsors for this bill. I believe it's now most House Democrats. I'd have to check on that, but who are supporting that legislation. And even in the Senate, it's very telling that several Democrats who may be presidential prospects for 2020 are now talking in the language of Medicare for all. So Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York has come out in favor of it. Even someone like Senator Cory Booker, who has a slightly more moderate reputation, has not quite endorsed it, but is sort of talking about the advantages of single payer, the advantages of a Medicare for all system. So although it's not yet in this party agenda, and it will definitely face pushback from Blue Dog Democrats, the conservatives in the caucus. I thought it was very interesting that that the Medicare for All movement seems to be growing, and Chuck Schumer is doing nothing to discourage it.
Well, Terry, thanks a lot for your thoughts. Appreciate that. And we're going to move on to Mike, and you're going to have to help me with pronunciation, Mike. Is it Mishiot? Mishicot?
Mishicot.
Mishicot. Great. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
It's right next to Manitowoc.
Oh, I've been there.
So, I think a message of unity a focus on unity rather than opposition, I think they're the divisive politics that have been hanging around for decades, it seems like now, and I think that the Democrats got a taste of what it's like. I think they tried to, the my way or the highway politics creates more enemies than friends, I think, and they could definitely use that. And I'd like to ask about if you could explain maybe who would lose in a single payer Medicare for all if that was going to be the health care?
Got it, Mike. Thank you for that question. And I don't know if you're able to get into the intricacies of a single payer health care, Graham. But what about his first message, saying a better message would be unity? We've had divisive politics. We've had gridlock. I mean, this is kind of a page out of the Barack Obama playbook from 8 years ago. But is there some kick left in that?
It's very interesting that he mentions this notion of unity and kind of a politics that works for everyone. Because although that was certainly effective for Barack Obama and obviously for all of us who are Americans on some level, we hope that we can have a politics that helps everyone, right? But one of the things about this new messaging and about the moment that we're in politics right now is that progressives want the Democratic Party to talk about who they see as the villains in a sort of American life, whether it's Wall Street or the forces that are creating inequality. And so I think this messaging and this sort of sharper, more economic populist tone is not going to be about unity, certainly in the same way that that the Obama rhetoric was. I mean, this is going to be about calling out big corporations and calling out Wall Street when appropriate. And I think there's I just before we went on the air, I was seeing a statement from a progressive group that was sort of applauding this notion that the party seems to be moving in the direction of sort of naming those villains that liberals see. It'll be interesting how that plays out, because as your caller points out, there will be people who will say it's divisive, right? It's a sort of class warfare politics. It's a way of dividing the country, as opposed to focusing on a more unifying message of opportunity for all. And it's just not where the national politics on either side appear to be right now.
And Graham, we just have a sliver of time left here with you, but do you think Democrats have anything to lose by going full throttle for this new messaging and letting up, perhaps, on President Trump and maybe stepping back from being that full-on opposition party?
Right. I don't think there's any chance that any Democratic candidate is going to be letting up on an anti-Trump message for this 2018 election. I think that Democrats should run as though history isn't on their side, even though it is, when it comes to sort of the out party having success in a midterm election. And I think that the most important thing for them is just going to be to recruit quality candidates. It sounds like there's a great number of people who are already registered to run in these various districts. It's going to be important to have candidates that fit the districts. It's going to be important that each candidate, has a message that is localized and fits the place where they're running. I have to say, I think that they'll manage to walk and chew gum, as many people said to me when I reported my article.
Graham, thank you so much for joining us. That was Graham Weiss. He's a staff writer covering politics for The New Republic, and he joined us there to talk about the new message for Democrats in 2018. It's called A Better Deal, and why he says, they might not need that message.